Hello, and welcome to Buyer's Remorse. I'm Justin.
I'm Darren.
Here on Buyer's Remorse, we check out each other's libraries, find a game that is untouched or unplayed, and force that person to give the game they bought a try for 60 minutes, and then report back to think if they have wonderful buyer's confirmation or the dreaded buyer's remorse. What game did I choose for you this time?
Auf Wiedersehen, Monty.
Such a stupid name.
Such a dumb name.
Tell us about Auf Wiedersehen, Monty.
So I remember I bought this game stupidly because I was like, oh, that's on PC now. I'll buy that. But I remember as soon as I played it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this game. I didn't like it.
Yeah, which I give you a hard time. I watched you play this a bit on the stream and saying, oh, so you bought a game you didn't like twice now.
Just pure nostalgia purchase. but even this cover art is just, it's so 80s. So this game came out in 1987. It's from Gremlin Graphics, who were huge. They were like one of the biggest publishers, developers of games in the UK back in the day for Spectrum, Commodore, Amstrad games. Huge. They were churning out games left, right, and center. And this was one of them. This was released on Steam in 2022, July 18th. So, like...
Well, you didn't wait long to get that one then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah, I picked it up. I'm following these guys because I'm really interested in picking up. I'm just like... I didn't realize how many games there are that I didn't play on Spectrum. And I played probably thousands of Spectrum games because, A, they were easy to pirate because it was just someone had a tape of it and all you needed was a double tape deck and you just recorded it. Hell, you could record, people would play the sounds on the radio and you could record it from the radio and then you could play them. You could load them up on your computer.
So like, that's amazing.
It's amazing. It's like, I mean, obviously it's like the internet before its time. It's like, so you would be listening to like, you know, Micro Kids on BBC Four. And then they would be like, we're going to play this game. We're going to play the code for this game and then get your tape decks ready. And then you could sit there and you could hit record and then they would just play all those weird sounds, you know, like the loading screen sounds from like, you're familiar with the Commodore loading screen, that weird, it's a weird digitized sound that...
Not that one. Would it be like a fax sound?
It sounds like a fax or like an old dial-up modem kind of sound.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
And so they would play those sounds in and then you just record them. And then suddenly it's like the whole thing of like the touch tone... telephones, like you could record those sounds, play them through a tape recorder into a phone and it would dial the number for you. What an incredible technology. It's just absolutely obsolete now. It's just there's no use for it anymore. But Auf Wiedersehen, Monty.
Well, let's talk just a couple things. So you said it's from Gremlin.
Gremlin Graphics, yeah.
So are they redoing these or were they originally involved?
No, but Pixel Games basically bought, I don't know how they acquired the rights, but it seems like they've acquired the rights to not just a single developer, but an entire platform. You know, it's like they own everything that came out. They just bought the rights to everything that came out on Commodore and Spectrum. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
But they also do like Atari Lynx games. And they do some Amstrad games. Amstrad's in with Commodore and Spectrum. Some Amiga games, which makes sense because Amiga is Commodore anyway. So yeah, it just feels like they've just said, hey, does anyone own the rights to all this old stuff? Yeah, well, can we have it? Sure. I don't know what their business model is, but they just seem to be churning out these. They're not even remakes. It's just like the old games, but
they work.
But they work, and that's incredible. That's so great to have like this digital museum now of all these old games from my childhood. And I'm stupid enough to buy the ones that even I didn't like.
Well, how much was this one? Do you know?
This one is about $4.
Okay.
which is probably the same price it was in 1987. Because these games were not cheap, you know. They were. I remember saving pocket money to buy. There was the real budget games that came in at like $2.99. This was pounds back in the day, which was probably closer to $8 today. And then you've got. Then you had your big budget ones that came in like these bigger boxes. It wasn't just like a normal cassette tape. They came in a box with instruction manuals and artwork and stuff. And those were about £10 to £15. There was 20 sometimes. Like, ooh, like Outrun came in a nice box and things like that. Games were terrible. No, absolutely awful. But
you want to own them all.
Yeah, yeah. Chase HQ. I'm waiting for that to get. I hope they make Chase HQ. I want to play that again.
So let's talk about this one.
So basically, you're a mole.
Yes, Monty the mole.
Monty the mole. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize, because it's not really that clear from the artwork on the cover or in the game at all, you're a mole who's going across Europe stealing stuff. And that's the whole premise. But basically, it looks like you're climbing through caverns and caves and weird levels, just collecting junk. And
the criminal underground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a part where I think it's the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I saw that. It's one of the worst looking Eiffel Towers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You got to put that up on the video. Just bad. It's just so bad. And it's about 10 feet tall because Monty is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You climb up in about 3 seconds. But yeah, so... It's yeah, at one point you steal there's the Mona Lisa just sitting there, and then, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But in the bottom of the screen, it tells you where you are in the world. So you start off in Gibraltar, and then you make your way into France, and you go through like Toulouse and Nice and Paris and whatever. And then I kind of stopped paying attention to that because I was just like really focused. Because it's one of those, it's basically, it's not a bullet hell game. It's one of those old style classic kind of Spectrum Commodore games where it's like they're enemies and they just walk up and down in a pattern.
Yeah, that's what I said when I jumped into the stream.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure which character was yours until I saw you stop for a second because none of the others do.
Yeah, they're just always on the move.
And don't make any sense. There was like a tiger head that was floating up and down.
Yep. There's a top hat with legs. weird stuff. It's just, yeah, it's so 1980s ZX Spectrum. It hurts. But what I did notice was, I was like, okay, I'll go and play this. I'll play this in the Amstrad mode, which my friend had an Amstrad and I was very jealous because it had a disk drive and it had proper colors and it was really, really good. The Amstrad version of this sucks. The Spectrum one is better. I can't, yeah, so the Spectrum graphics are way better, like more defined. There's better sounds. You can see what you're picking up. Some of the, like, I guess the assets in the Amstrad version, like the Mona Lisa looks much, much, much more like the Mona Lisa than the Spectrum version. So like the small, finer details are not there in the Spectrum one, but it's much better defined. The enemies are better defined. It's just not as colorful. The color palette of the Spectrum is not good. And the kind of, the smoothness of the sprites is not great compared with Amstrad.
How are the colors? Because the colors in the one I was watching were wild.
Yeah, yeah. The colors in the Amstrad version are good. Yeah, it's really colorful and it looks more like a modern game. But yeah, the Spectrum one is like, yeah, you get like 4 colors and you're done.
Gray, red, green, and yellow.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think there was blue on the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, and then and on the Spectrum, one of the things is every time you get close to another sprite, you can see the hitbox of what they painted. So that sprite will become half your color and half their color because they clash. Everything kills you in this game. Everything kills you.
Well, not
you.
Everything. You have weird things to pick up too, though.
Yeah, but even then, you're like, can I touch that? No, I'm dead. And you've got 6 lives. You can get new lives. I found 1 extra life up a tree somewhere, but getting to that and getting back always cost me a life anyway. So it's like, I didn't even bother going for it in the end. But this is like one of those Jet Set Willy games where it's just like run around, collect everything, get to the exit. So by the end of my playthrough, I was just gunning for the exit. There's no point collecting all that stuff. But you can do crazy things in this. You can like hang from the ceiling and you can walk upside down. There's weird bits. There's a part where a cowboy comes on and shoots himself and kills himself. Like, I've never seen a suicide in a computer game before. Like, what? There's a part where there's an item and you go to pick it up, but it turns into an enemy and it kills you. Like, that's just cheap. What a cheap shot.
You had a weird jumping mechanic.
Yeah, you have to, like, you can't go up flush against something and then jump. You have to back up and you can't, you got to do this, like, frog jump, this leapfrog thing off to the side. And it's just...
You're also doing this one where you were, it's like each spin you were getting a little bit higher or something.
Yeah, there are trampolines that take you up. There's one part that was impossible to get back from because you drop down and then trying to get back up, the guy, there's a guy on that level, but he moves up and down really, really quickly. And it's just like... The timing has to be perfect. So I wasted about 5 of my 6 lives just trying to get back up to where I'd come from. Very punishing.
And of course, this game, every time you run out of lives, you start from the very beginning with no save.
Oh, yeah. No saves. Yeah. I think, though, what Pixel Games have done, though, is that they've introduced a kind of in there, it's not DOSBox, but it's something like that. They've created their own kind of engine to run it in. It's not Scum and it's not DOSBox, but it's theirs for running these old Spectrum games. And I think you can save. So you could kind of save Scum your way through these games now. But I've looking back now, I don't know how many Spectrum games I actually finished. I don't think I finished any.
Did you? Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah, just because it's so hard. It's so difficult, man. But anyway, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask if you'd recommend this game to me.
I would love to get you into some old school Spectrum games, but this would not be a good entrance point. there are way better Spectrum games that exist. But yeah, this is not one of them.
Do you recommend it for anyone?
Yeah, I mean, if you like those collectathons, it's like if you liked Jet Set Willy or if you liked, well, actually, because back in the day, those games, they didn't really have much else going for them. Head Over Heels is one that I would recommend. We've talked about that on the podcast before. I would recommend that to you because that is fun. It's got a kind of weird story and it's finished. I finished it, actually. I finished it. For the first time ever on this podcast, I actually managed to finish it. I would recommend that, but not really this, because it's just like going through, it seems like random rooms, and it's very, very, very frustrating, man. So frustrating. I was getting really pissed off by the end of the hour that I was playing this.
Yeah, you seemed like you were done, but now that you've had a little bit of time away, do you think you're going to go back to it?
Honestly, no. I'm happy.
Not even with a walkthrough?
I'd rather just watch it on YouTube, to be honest, man. Because this doesn't really have that pull for me. It's like, I'll go back and I'll finish. I'm going to finish Jack the Nipper if it kills me. I'm going to finish that because I want to see the end. I know it's going to be, congratulations, you finished the game. And that's it. But I want to... That's a game 30 years in the making that I've been wanting to finish. I remember I bought a walkthrough for that. It's just basically send a self-addressed envelope to the developer, to Gremlin Graphics, actually. They made that. Just send an SAE to Gremlin Graphics, and they mailed me a sheet with use this on this guy, use all the item usage, and a little mini walkthrough. But it was so hard, man. And it's still hard. I'm trying to finish it now. It's just impossible. But so unfortunately, Monty... Auf Wiedersehen, Monty doesn't have that nostalgia pull for me. So
you're saying Auf Wiedersehen to Monty.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What tags would you give this one?
This is just old school platforming and frustrating. Yeah, it's a hell of a frustrating game, man. It's really, really annoying. But a lot of people like that kind of challenge, but it's rough. The save system will definitely help, though, because you'll get... I was getting quite good in my runs towards the end. I was getting back to where I died with using minimal amounts of lives. And there does seem to be other aspects of this game. You keep on picking up air tickets, And it's like, and there's control in the menu, there's controls for flying. So there's definitely a flying section in this game. God knows what that looks like.
You don't want to go back to see what the flying looks like?
Again, YouTube is my savior for this one. I think I'm happy enough that I bought it and gave it another shot. And I didn't have a terrible time, but I mean, I did have a terrible time, but I'm glad that I went back and played it.
Do you think you would have had as good a time if you're just playing it on your own versus playing it on the stream?
Sometimes streaming games is worse because I feel like an absolute fool playing them and like everyone's watching me suck at this game. I think if I wasn't streaming, I might have even had a better time because I was getting like, Jesus, man. I was kept on looking at the clock going, I can't wait to be done with this because everyone's just must be thinking like, A, why is he playing this game? B, why does he suck so much at it? And C, where's Elden Ring? where's the real games?
You don't think your Elden Ring fans are also super excited about Upfeedersen
and Monty? Kind of two different games, yeah. Slightly different.
Well, then, what would you say about your purchase? Was it a wonderful buyer's confirmation or the dreaded buyer's remorse?
I probably... $4 is steep, definitely way more than, I don't know. It's one of these ones that I'm on the fence again. I don't want to be like, yeah, it's fine, but I don't want to let it off the hook too much, but I don't want to be too mean to it.
All right, so here's what I've used in the past.
Yep.
It's like, it was an hour of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's also $4, so mm-hmm. Does the $4 translate to an hour of fun? But also... You can say, you know, for other people, it's fine. But for you,
yeah,
it's maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, even as me with a background in these kind of games and that nostalgia feeling, I still didn't really feel it. And I think for someone else like, oh, man, retro games, I'll pick this up. They're going to be very disappointed. So, yeah, I'm going to go with remorse.
Excellent.